This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good afternoon, Melbourne. This is The Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. This is your food and travel show. Happy Easter and how fabulous to be with you. My name's Russ Masterton and we have the old trio together today, which is very exciting. And by old, I mean guys that have worked together before, not played together before. So on the panel today, we've got the luscious and the glamorous Mark Adams. How are you, Mr. Adams?
Correct, Mundo Fonzi. I'm very, very well.
It's good to hear.
Oh, it's just such a gorgeous day. I'm beside myself. I'm very happy. It's a very sit outside and drink a fine wine.
Fine wine. What place are you going to go to this afternoon to try that fine wine?
I probably won't. I haven't got any plans. That's the thing. So, you know, I might have to go on a nap.
Oh, I love those apps.
Find someone new to have a fine wine.
Find the white wine app.
Correct.
Also in the studio, we've got one of our old Mouseketeers, and that's Tad Lombardo. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back to Joy 94.9.
Thank you. It's been a while.
We've got you visiting today to tell us all about your travels and development over the past 12 months, which is going to be very interesting indeed.
And that's the theme of the show.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
The journey within.
Oh, the Tad Lombardo, The Journey Within.
It's very serious.
Now available at all fine bookstores.
Yeah. Now, it is Easter.
It is Easter.
What a fabulous weekend we've got. I can't believe how exciting
it is.
The
weather's incredible.
Yeah, this point of April, to have 30 degrees today.
Yeah.
You always like a 30 top, don't you, Russ?
Look, I do, inches. And anyway, we move right along. Do you know that chocolate is obviously a big top?
Well, yeah.
And we've got the right person.
Oh, we do, because you're
Chocolato.
You're a chocolatier, aren't you?
Well, I was.
You were in the good old days. Yeah. Now, I'm just fascinated by the different amounts of chocolate and traditions that all come out at this time of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, a lot of the chocolate is commercial chocolate. Obviously, this time of year is one of the big selling times, like Christmas would be. But again, people who enjoy chocolate all the time use this as an opportunity to overindulge. Yeah, and like I still love chocolate, but I loved working in chocolate in my business. But I also love the fact that I don't do it anymore.
Well, fair enough too. Yeah. It had its day.
It did. No, it had it certainly did. And I think it's important to, when you're ready to have a change in your life, to make sure that you end things on a high, as opposed to the other way.
And you did do that, which was absolutely great. Yeah. Well, you know, I did some research on chocolate for today's show, and the interesting
give
thing,
us a lick of that.
Oh, look, there is a lick of everything here. There are several days each year that people just go crazy on chocolate, and the Bittersweet Choc Day is on the 8th of January, and International Chocolate Day is on the 12th of September. So there are a couple of days every year.
Those are like the Hallmark days, aren't they?
They are the Hallmark days.
Red Letter Day.
Where people are entitled to go absolutely off and indulge as much as they like. But, you know, on this list, I mean, practically every day of the year there's a chocolate.
I was just going to say that. You don't need
a chocolate excuse to go to. So chocolate in itself is not seen as a very caloric-friendly food.
Dark chocolate is.
Is it?
Above 70% and in moderation is supposed to be very good for you. So they say.
All right.
I don't know, but that and a glass of wine, you know, with all the it is a healthy.
It does sound like the perfect weekend, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sounds like it might be my afternoon.
So there's a couple of some fantastic chocoholic tours here in Melbourne that you can go on, which sound absolutely amazing. There's chocoholic tours, and they do little tours inside of Melbourne's arcades and
there's a lot of chocolate places in Melbourne.
Yeah, there are a lot of chocolate places. Yeah. So if you're feeling completely you know, you need to get your chocolate fix, you just jump on a tour and you walk in and out of all of Melbourne's laneways and arcades and away you go and get that self-indulgence. Yeah, there's even a Yarra Valley wine tasting and chocolate tour for
Mark.
That's
right, which is great. Yeah.
So very good way to go.
Have you done the Chocoholic tour?
I have done the Chocoholic tour.
Where does it take you?
There's
all CBD, isn't it?
Yeah, there's several arcades. Yeah. Tad might be a bit more aware of.
Well, you go to a lot of the main chocolate places in Melbourne, you know, the
Hags.
Yep. Obviously, they're pretty much a mainstay in Australia. They started actually in Adelaide.
Adelaide,
but you know, there's you know, there's your Cocoa Black, you know, all this, there's tons of different places in Melbourne. Yeah. And a lot of the artists in the smaller places, artists in like my shop was, you know, those are probably fewer and far between, but there's tons of places in Melbourne that you can get good chocolate. Yeah. And, you know, I walk past places all the time and I'm like, oh, I never knew that was there. Yeah. And then you go have a look, you know.
And away you go.
Yeah. So you find it in places you don't expect, I guess, as well. And a lot of gourmet food shops and things like that, that you see some really nice chocolate in there and good quality chocolate. Right. And it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg either. So,
well, that's what they say at this time of the year. It's all about quality over quantity.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the chocolate you can get at a supermarket.
Or quality and quantity.
Yeah.
Best of both worlds for us.
You can get proper chocolate at the grocery store.
Yeah.
If you shop there, you just have to know what you're buying. It's probably not the best quality, but it's anything that shows a percentage of cacao mass on it is real chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Anything that does not is probably compound chocolate.
Fake chocolate.
Fake. Yeah.
And if it has a cartoon character on the label,
it's
confectionery, right?
It's more fake flavoring and coloring and that sort of stuff.
During this
amped up sugar
chocolate journey that I did today, I found out all these amazing things that you can do with chocolate. But my favorite,
sexy things, right?
My favorite was, if you ever want to get rid of a partner, or you want to get rid of your overnight guests really quickly because things haven't gone well, you know.
Yeah.
Two tops don't make a ride, as they say. You get a sliver of chocolate. Sliver of chocolate, right?
Where do you put it?
And you put it between their legs, okay? And then you go to sleep. Now, the next morning, the chocolate will have melted and they're going to wake up and they're going to think...
It's not a good look.
They're going to think that they've pooed their pants in the bed.
Unless it moved and is under you.
Good point.
Yeah. So they're going to be... Good point. You're going to end up rocking up somewhere on the weekend and...
Well,
everyone's going to call you Brown Town.
I love that so much that I'm going to try that on Gashima tonight.
Let us know how that works.
I will.
Thankfully, he doesn't listen to this session.
I will let you know how that works.
Yeah, I'm interested.
And there are so many weird and unique Easter activities you can do all over the world. Now, the one, I love this one in the Czech Republic. They're into whipping there.
Oh.
So all of the boys run after boys and girls, depending on which way you go, and they have a whip, and you're allowed to whip people in the street.
Really?
Yeah, it's a sign of endearment over Easter to whip somebody.
I wonder what will come up if I Google Czech whipping.
I think God knows what you'd find.
If I internet search.
Yeah.
Now, in Colombia, they don't eat chocolate. They prefer to have iguana, turtles and rodents over Easter.
Iguana, like turtles and
barbecued
rodents.
Yeah. So how does that
sound? In chocolate form?
That's it.
Or is it like a... Edible.
No, real. Yeah, so Colombia.
Elegant rabbit, armadillo style.
Yeah, if you're feeling a bit hungry, you know, go down and have a turtle in Colombia. That'd be good.
Right.
An Easter iguana.
I know. It doesn't sound right, does it?
Thank you. Right.
Or happy rodent day.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work.
No.
So you then can move on to places like Hungary, where the girls all get dressed up in their national costume and you're allowed to splash water all over them. So my
like a wet T-shirt contest.
Oh, yes.
A wet just the girls.
So my vision is that you'd stand at your front gate with the hose.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? And they'd all come swinging their hands. A little bit like...
thank you, patriarchy.
Yeah. A little bit of Sound of Music as they're all walking down the street. Then you go take out your power hose and say, get out.
Hose them down.
Those poor women.
Do they like it? I mean, is it something that's enjoyed?
I don't know. I think you're on the mark with the wet T-shirt competition. Yeah. I think that's how the guys, you know, find Hungarian women attractive. Now, in France, what they do in Paris, they have the biggest omelette in the world day. So they get 45,000 eggs and they make this massive, massive omelette and they feed a couple of thousand people with it. And that's their...
So they do use it for food then?
They do use it for food,
I'm okay with that.
Yep. So what else? Papua New Guinea, I love this. Because I don't have any chocolate in the rainforests in Papua New Guinea.
It's too hot. Yeah.
Right,
well,
you're right.
Well, it's growing on the trees.
Exactly right.
Raw form.
So what they do is they decorate their Easter trees in Papua New Guinea. They have Easter trees. They decorate their Easter trees in Papua New Guinea with cigarettes and tobacco.
Okay.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. There you go.
Really? I know. I thought that was a good one.
Hang
your cigarette onto a tree.
Hang the fags on the tree. Then it's the Easter tree.
Yeah, you can just take a drag as you're walking past. Yeah,
right. That doesn't make as much sense as a chocolate egg delivering rabbit.
No, it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
That's true. Yeah,
and then look, the last one I thought was kind of interesting was in Finland they do the Witches of Easter Week.
Oh, okay.
So I love it. I love a good drag dress up. So yeah. Who wouldn't? You know, wouldn't you get dressed up as an Easter witch and just run down the streets of Oslo?
I'd love to see Helsinki. Finland.
Yes, wrong.
Well, yeah, Oslo's wrong. Norway, yeah.
Oh, goodness me.
Bad travel agent. You haven't sent anyone to Helsinki.
That's right.
Look, there are lots of stories I can tell you.
Poor bewildered people.
Have you got any traditions your family did for Easter, Ted?
For my family...
Italian family, right? New York,
on
Italian?
My dad's side, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So there was always getting together with the family, obviously. And
Did everyone run away going, you walk, and all that kind of thing?
No, my family don't have an accent like that.
Don't they?
No.
Do they have your accent?
More like
which
my
are
accent.
They New York State or New York City?
Well, just right out of New York City, northern New Jersey, actually.
Ah, okay, Jersey.
But very close. Yeah, but we don't speak like that either. Uh-huh. Although one of my cousins does, but that's
you know what? There's a restaurant.
He's a gangster.
She's
a gangster
in Brooklyn called La Gianda on the Water.
Okay,
and it looks over southern Manhattan, and it's brilliant, and it's like the real mafia wives of Brooklyn, and it is fantastic. And they're there with their fake boobs and their teeth and their big nails and their furs. And it's, so I said, Tony. And it's all this. I went there with a friend and it was this classic, it was like wedding food. It was all prawn cocktails in martini glasses. And it was fantastic. The food was actually really good. But just the presence of the people there who were that real
characters.
Stereotype. It looked like they came straight out of The Sopranos. Yeah. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I love that accent. It reminds me of the nanny. It always
reminds me of another level. But
I can remember one of the shows where the nanny's mother was in Paris for the first time ever and she couldn't speak any French. So the waiter would come to the table and she'd try to order and she'd go, Frère Jacques, Frère Jacques. And then she'd bring over the plate and she'd go, Domez-vous. It was very
careful. It worked for her, you know.
It did work for her. What about you, Mark?
We haven't sidelined. What was your family tradition?
Oh, yeah. So there's always like the Italian traditions of like meat pie, Easter pies that would be made for the festivities. But it was mainly just getting together with the family and usually an argument would entail at the end by somebody, you know. And
what
loud.
Kind of argument? Just sort whatever. Of family kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Family yeah, family crap, you know.
Yeah, my chocolate's stale.
Yeah, and then like all us younger ones would just be on the sidelines just having a good time watching it all unfold, you know.
Drinking, having another Chianti, watching it all.
Yeah, well, at that stage, we probably weren't having Chiantis, but just kind of watching it all and
rolling
saying,
right.
Oh, yeah, it's typical because there's always the same perpetrators and, you know, that kind of thing. You know?
Well, so your dad's side of the family is Italian, so a lot of Italian tradition. What was your mum's side of the family?
They're a bit more typical American, you know, mixture sort of thing. Yeah, and so when we would spend time with that side of the family, it was, you know, the ham and the... exactly. still family time, but it was all that kind of thing. And chocolate and... unspoken. blood-boiling stuff on the inside, not on the outside. No, but, you know, it's all that kind of stuff.
Perfect repressed family time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds good.
We always had fun, especially when all the cousins got together because it was a big family. Both sides.
But it's a good time. Easter's a good time in the United States because it's spring.
It's spring. Well, that's the thing. When I moved to Australia, it was always hard for me to kind of switch the colors of things. Like here, we're in autumn, so it's the browns and the oranges. And whereas in growing up, it was always the pastels, the pinks, you know, all the
bright colors.
The bright colors, yeah. And so it's kind of that sort of different.
And you would have had a spring break coming up during that
spring
time.
Break,
so
absolutely.
In your younger, foolish days, you would have taken off somewhere and gone away
absolutely.
For a few days.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, you know, when you're in uni and that sort of stuff, you would definitely do that for
Where did you go for your spring break? Down to Florida?
Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yes.
That was the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What happens in Fort Lauderdale?
Stays in Fort Lauderdale. Absolutely. But it shifts, though. Like initially when I first started, it was like you would go to Daytona Beach, Florida, and then it shifted to Fort Lauderdale. And then I think it shifted to Mexico, Cozumel, and some of those places. It's constantly changing the trend.
Where they have their spring breaks. It's a bit like our schoolies off to Bali or wherever.
Exactly. It's not just surfer's paradise anymore.
No, goodness me. Surfer's what? Mark, what about you? What do you do?
Not really observant. I'm not a believer.
Yeah.
I think it's a very special time for those who believe. I'm not one of them. So I enjoyed the time off. But I do enjoy the food traditions that, yep. that come with Easter and the Easter eggs and the Easter hot cross buns and all those things. It's nice, but it's, you know, they're foods I wouldn't search for.
God, how many different year. Types of hot cross buns are there this year?
I know.
I made them for the first time since my shop closed my shop, and they were one of the best in Melbourne at the time.
Oh, were they?
But I've enjoyed getting back into that,
I tasted a cranberry with white chocolate one on Friday, and I have to say, God, it was gorgeous.
Really? Yeah. I don't. You know what? I would have run away from that.
Would you?
I like tradition when it comes to
that. Yeah, okay. Fair
That's
enough.
Just me.
I mean, they did bring out the hot cross buns on Boxing Day last year, so I guess we've been waiting a long time for that.
That's true.
In our family, we used to, we don't anymore because we're all grown up now, but we used to play smashing eggs.
Oh, okay.
So my mother would, and we'd always like to invite a different person over each year because my mother would take the yolks out of all of the eggs and then put them back together,
real eggs,
and then she would colour them all and dip them in inks and all of that sort of stuff and make them look pretty.
We did that as kids.
Yeah. And anyway, the first year she did it, we were kids and we were so excited. Mum's like, oh, look what I made. And we're going, oh, you're so cool. And anyway, then she would pick up a handful and take them out of the basket and just smash them on our heads. And we were all scared to death because we thought we were going to be covered in egg and egg yolks. So, and she was roaring out laughing. She's a bit of like...
That's great.
She's a bit like the bitter Easter wick, which...
were these real eggs?
Real eggs.
Raw?
You suck out the inside of it. Then you dip them in different colours. Yeah, you blow them out.
That's where you got your experience.
Oh, yes. I've become an expert there.
Blowing out.
And then you dip them in different colours.
Hello, eggs.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, eggs McEaster, yeah.
That could be your Easter drag day.
I think I'll love it. Here comes little Miss Eggs McEaster.
We've got a really quick message.
We do, don't we?
We're going to be back and talk to Tad about the journey within, because travel's not always about moving from A to B. Sometimes it can be a wider story than that. It's an interesting tale. And we'll be back in just a few moments. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is on air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But sometimes you can't always be with us when you want to. Here's the solution. Here's the solution. Listen to your favourite Joy 94.9 show anytime with our Joy podcast service. Our team of over 30 volunteers pick out the best bits from around 60 programs that Joy airs each week, made available to you for free download. To find a podcast of your favourite Joy show, search for us in the featured providers section within the iTunes store, or find them on the Joy website, joy.org.au. Joy Podcasts. Any show, anytime, joy.org.au.
Got some chocolate-related questions.
Oh, get out.
Yeah. Lizzie's Chocolates in Carnegie. Brad from Marvelous Melbourne. Recommend Lizzie's. Now, this is not a paid thing, so we're going to find out from you, as the chocolate expert, Tad, what's special about Lizzie's Chocolates in Carnegie?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Great.
I'd be lucky.
Well, if Brad's recommended, we think people should go down
there,
though. Yes.
I'm sure it's very nice. I've not been to it.
Especially with a name like Lizzie. I love that name.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Absolutely.
Have we got any other messages? Or
somebody, number ends in 855, just messaged and said, usually chocolates that have been there for years.
What was that?
It's like the old story about chocolate. Easter eggs are from the scraping off the floor and...
Oh, are they?
And everything. People used to tell those stories, but a lot of eggs.
Pagan times or something.
Yeah, a lot of eggs have been there for years because if they don't sell out at Easter, you can't do much with them. Yeah.
Well, I know. We got delivered a whole heap of eggs one year, and I'm sure Mum put them in the freezer and then delivered them back to us the following year. And the chocolate had gone off, but she didn't tell us. She just let us eat it anyway.
How do you mean gone off?
Didn't kill you.
Well, it was a different colour. You know, it was white.
It actually didn't go off.
Oh,
what that is it's called bloom.
Bloom,
so there's two types of chocolate bloom. There's a fat bloom or sugar bloom.
Yeah.
All that is when the temperature that chocolate should be stored at is pretty much the same for red wine.
Okay.
Between 18 and 20 degrees, something like that.
Yeah.
And very low humidity. So if they're put in the freezer, that's the wrong temperature. So what happens is either the fat or the sugar comes to the surface.
Yeah.
You can tell if you touch it and it's a bit grainy, that's sugar bloom. If you lick your finger and wipe it and it goes away, that's fat bloom. But it doesn't mean the chocolate's off.
Well, these have been in the freezer for 12 months.
Yeah, but so it doesn't mean the chocolate's off. The chocolate is still good to eat.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's just the quality of the look of the chocolate is what will change.
All right, I must tell her tomorrow. We forgive her for poisoning us.
Didn't kill you?
Nah, we're okay.
5 second rule?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. About a year, but that's all right.
Still happens today.
So as our local resident chocolatier, how did you get into that business? What drew you? Surely it's not the Easter Peak.
No, it was not at all. it was basically I wanted to change my life from what I was doing. My background's engineering, so I was tired of doing that for 21 years and basically wanted to challenge myself to do something completely different. And I'd always loved food and didn't know what I wanted to get into, and had taken a few master classes, and one was chocolate, and just it clicked with me, and I became obsessed with it. So I decided that's what I wanted my future to be.
And you opened up a chocolate shop.
Yeah, I re-educated myself. As an engineer, I was able to do it pretty quickly and to debug the problems, because working with chocolate is not easy. It's very technical. And then decided to do that, opened my chocolate shop, and just went from there.
Now, you have to be butch to be an engineer, because I just have my vision. Well,
am I?
Vision just goes straight to a man with a hard hat on, and you know, walking around with blueprints under his arm and saying,
really? And pointing.
Yeah, pointing. Yeah.
Barking up the orders.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Is that what you think as an engineer? I think they're very bookish and sort of.
Bookish.
Oh, you think they're nerds, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's different types of engineers.
Okay, sure. Which, what type were you?
I was a mix.
All right.
Yeah. So, all the good bits.
Yeah, just the good ones. So I sometimes had to walk around with blueprints. I sometimes had to wear a hard hat, but not all the time.
All right.
A suit, that kind of stuff.
Is that when, you know, is that when the village people fetish came out?
No, it was well after that. I'm not that old.
I always wanted to be the Indian. You would have been a great leatherman.
Oh, okay. Now I've got my afternoon plan sorted.
Yep. You've got your outfit sorted for this afternoon.
Got a couple grand on harnesses. Lord knows what.
Yeah.
So we've got another message from Brad.
Oh,
we're going to take a detour, and then we're going to get back to the journey within. Brad wants to know, are there any traditions around Easter on Easter Island?
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you? What a strange... I don't know the answer to the question.
Well, I think...
We're going to do some research,
Brad. It didn't come up in the top 10.
No, I don't think there's any relevance to it at all, to be honest.
You know,
I could be wrong.
The top seven... Well, while Mark's looking up Easter Island over Easter, the top seven countries for chocolate, and Ted, you may or may not agree with these. It's Belgium, Switzerland, Ecuador, UK. Question mark
that's
there.
That's interesting.
Ivory Coast.
Yep.
Italy.
Yep.
And USA.
But you know what? They've missed one.
Which one's
which
that?
Which is where chocolate all started, was Spain.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Conquistadors.
Columbus. Well, Spain brought it back. No, it's true.
Yeah.
They brought it back to Spain.
Yeah.
Kept it quiet for a couple hundred years. No, they did, seriously. And then because it was very, you know, it was very unusual, and they were working out how to use it, but it was a luxury item. And this is back in the 1400s.
Wow.
And they sat on it, and then when they decided to share it with the rest of Europe, that's when it started coming out and becoming chocolate, and they started using it in different ways.
Right.
But it was Spain that literally brought chocolate to the... not the new Europe. World, but to Europe.
And but it was really seen as a huge delight, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And it was always a liquid drink to start with.
Yeah.
And then, it, you know, obviously as the machine age came in and the Industrial Revolution, machining it, Switzerland developed the ways to actually, you know, machine it properly. So it was a nice mouthfeel and it would melt properly and all that with the... you know, the machines that grind it down really finely and you can play games with it that way. But yeah, that's really it all started.
Well, then while we're travelling on chocolate, do you have a preference for the Swiss or the Belgian chocolate?
I prefer Swiss.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, why is that? I do.
What's the difference between Swiss and Belgian chocolate?
Probably absolutely nothing. I'm a loyalist when it comes to things like that. So I just think, you know, it started in Switzerland as far as the commercialization of it.
And the refinement.
And the refinement of it. So I'll stick with that. But I'm not going to pass up a piece of Belgian chocolate if someone puts it in front of me.
Oh, who wouldn't? Yeah. So I know when you fly Swiss Air, it's one of their big deals is they'll give out Swiss chocolate while you're flying
with
them.
Yeah, they bait you with chocolate,
And then when you go to Zurich Airport, every duty-free, every shop there's chocolate in it. It's absolutely amazing. But
Yeah. Zurich's one of my favourite airports in the world.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is.
It's very nice. Very easy to get around. Mm. And
efficient.
Very organised.
Yeah.
What civilized. If I went down to my local Coles or Safeway, for example, is the Swiss chocolate there good chocolate?
The Lindt one, yeah. So it's got a percentage on it, you know. And quality comes in many different ways when you're talking about chocolate. It's obviously the quality of the bean, the way it's produced, all that kind of thing. Mm. So obviously the chocolate you're getting there is probably not the highest quality bean, but it is high quality cuvée de chocolate. It's the real deal.
Yeah.
And it's got the percentages on there. So that's what you want to look for.
And is your interest in chocolate moving away from engineering? Have you traveled the world with your business and gone to things that are chocolate related?
I have. I've spent a lot of time in Switzerland. To Vanuatu because at the time they were just trying to get their production of cacao up and running, and I visited a plantation there where they were doing that and brought some of the beans back to Australia and used them. And it was always when I would travel somewhere, it would be something that I would want to focus on. Exactly. Whether it was in Bali or Mexico or wherever, you'd go and just see what they had to offer and see what was happening with it.
You know? I know one of my favorite shows that I ever did with you was when you got James Heard.
That was fun, wasn't it?
That a
I was
good
talking
show?
About that just the other day.
Yeah, and he came into the studio because he's got a relationship with, what was the name of the chocolate?
Cacao Hunters.
Yeah, God, that was amazing.
He's a partner in it. Mm. And that was such a fun show.
Oh, it was so much fun. The boys were great. They brought in so much chocolate, Mark. It was.
Yeah.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
We do have some feedback for dear...
Brad, it was.
Dear Brad from Marvellous Melbourne. Easter Island is thus named because the European person who discovered and decided to keep it for Europe, Jakob Roggeveen, discovered it on Easter Sunday. That's the only...
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's the connection. Okay.
Very hard place to get to, Easter Island.
Yes.
You've got to fly all the way to South America and then you've got to fly back to Easter Island.
Yeah.
And apparently it's a treat, an absolute treat to go there, but it's because it's so hard to get to, tourism is, it's really...
difficult.
And not on everyone's top 10, but I know some people that have been.
So today our topic is Dad Lombardo, a long-term Joy volunteer, chocolate in the past, but we're also talking about the journey that you've, the life journey, and that's one of the big things. So you were in the chocolate business and you had your own chocolate shop at
My own brand.
Brand Market, your own brand.
That's right.
And then life took a turn on you.
It did, and sometimes that happens.
And you embraced it, though.
I did, and I think...
So what happened? What was that journey?
My ex and I broke up after 23 years together, and I just decided that, okay, this has happened.
Gee, that's an LTR in gay years.
Oh, it's an eternity.
It's an LTR, all right.
That's right.
That's a marriage. That's a marriage.
Yeah.
That one is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so when something like that happens to you, well, at least from my point of view, I try to look at the bigger picture and say, okay, I can't do anything about this at this stage. I just have to embrace it and make sure I come through it on the other end better than I was before. And that was my thing. I had put on a lot of weight in the process towards the end of it because it wasn't a happy scenario. And then I started realizing I'm putting all this time into this business, which I love, but I wasn't getting out what I felt I should be getting out of it based on the work that I was putting into it. Yeah. And so I thought, I'm ready to, it's a tough decision to make because it was my life and my love and my passion. But sometimes those things aren't what your future is.
And Ted, it's really interesting that you should talk about this. I mean, a lot of people would look once you get into your
early 30s.
Early 30s. Yes, let's start there.
I just turned 53 and I'm proud of it.
I'm 53 too. Yeah. And I like being this age. No,
so
you don't look it either. I like being this age because I can't.
Glad this is radio.
Are you free tonight? Are you free? You're not even 50 yet. You're not even 50 yet, young man.
Exactly.
You're not even 50.
I'll take it.
But I think. I mean, yours is such a positive story, and I think what people in our community especially thinks, oh, you know, you get to that age and your life's over and done with, and you're lucky if you're going to meet anybody else and rah, 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 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Through your experience, you, every time I spoke to you, nothing but positive, you know, and you were so set on changing your life and going in a new direction. Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, so I first wanted to get my physicality under control. Due to the situation with the relationship, it was a situation where I would look in the mirror. I actually hated what I saw staring back at me. Other people wouldn't see that, but I did. And I needed to find out first why that was happening to me, because it's stupid. But I also knew that I wasn't special and I was the only person in the world that felt that way about themselves. So I always knew and always believed that there was always a connection between physicality and your, you know, and your mind.
Right.
So started on that was the first thing I was going to change. I was going to get back to the way I looked when I was 30.
Yep.
Or as close to it as I possibly could. So started doing that pretty much straight away. And then obviously that gives you more strength and power in your mind to do other changes that you need to make.
Well, you're looking like an underwear model now.
Thank you.
Truly.
Thank you. So
he's sitting here in nothing but underwear.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Another, maybe put my underpants back on.
You look great with that Victoria's Secret bra on. Yeah. I'll tell you.
And the wings.
Yeah, I love the wings. They're great.
We could go somewhere with this.
Yeah. but, you know, just felt that... there was more to that that I needed to change, and I couldn't allow something that I love so much to be such a drain on me. So I thought, no, I'm going to shut the business down, and I'm just going to travel.
But didn't you think that was a very brave choice? I mean, you didn't.
Yeah, but you know, like, I mean,
something you're really good at, and you've received awards for, and people, you know, so many people in that industry, and people are there every week to come and buy your chocolate, and you thought, you know what? Enough.
But I'd had enough, and you know, it's a tough business to be in. Anything retail is tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God, it's a mug's game.
Yeah, and you know, running your own small business is tough. Mm. You know, there's not a lot of support, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously from the public there is, and who enjoy your product, but other than that, it's a very cutthroat world out there. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to end it on a high, and I'm going to make myself live the best life I can. And do what I have to do that. And I needed to heal.
From the breakup?
Absolutely. And
travel's a great way to do that.
Well, exactly. And I thought, you know, I've never
Learn
been in a
thyself.
Situation. Yeah, I've never been in a position where I could just drop everything and go wherever the hell I wanted to and when I wanted to go. And I thought, I'm going to create that opportunity for myself at that time.
Yeah.
And I spent the last year and a half doing that and spending a lot of time with my family back in the United States, which was great. And just going all over the world and going to places where I wanted to challenge myself as far as my comfort level of being there.
And what was one of those places?
Well, for example, Israel, which came out to be the most ridiculous concept because it wasn't like that at all. It was like being in Melbourne and it was fantastic.
It's very
and I
cool,
loved it.
Isn't it?
It is. And I want to go back there. That's one of the main places I want to go back.
I loved Israel.
Yeah, it was amazing. Going into Cuba.
Yes.
As well. I wanted to go there, and I wanted to go before it became too commercial and too touristy, which unfortunately will turn that way. And just, you know, just living my life and just deciding, you know what, next week I want to go to Palm Springs or spend a week in Miami or Mexico City or, you know, all those sorts of places and allowing myself to do it and not feel guilty for doing it.
It's funny. It's an interesting concept with retirement too. I know a lot of people, friends of mine have just moved to Maroochydore on the Sunshine Coast.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to take, are very clever people and they have the capacity to run their own businesses and they'll keep their finger in the pie and all that sort of stuff. But their concern is, and they're in their 50s, so what they've done is, okay, well, we're going to retire for 10 years and do all the things that we want to do in retirement just in case we can't, and then we'll hop back into our businesses when we're 60 and we'll, you know, when we've done the things in retirement we want to do, we'll you know, we'll go get back in and do things at a slower pace.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great idea. Why do you have to wait till, you know?
Why do you have to wait? Yeah. Exactly. And I think, you know, we spend so much time.
Financially, I think most people are bound to making decisions because of limited funds.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of it. And I was fortunate that I was not in that position to do that. And but I also worked hard for that too. Do you know what I mean? Like, no one handed that to me, that opportunity to me. So I thought, I'm going to do this. But I think you reach that point too where you stop focusing on what you want and you focus on what you deserve. And you're the one who's responsible for that.
Yeah.
Not somebody else, you know?
We're going to go for a quick break.
Yep.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about what you learned in your travels about yourself.
Yep.
Because I think that's one of the biggest things about travels. You learn not only about the place that you go to, you learn a lot about yourself.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
We're here with Ted, aren't
we?
Joy 94.9, and we are finding out all about your travel journey and what you learned about yourself, which is
a lot about myself. Yeah. You learn a lot when you go through a breakup. I know I'm not the first person to do that, but you learn who your friends are, and you learn who your friends are not. Yeah. Mm. So it was funny. Like
names.
Yeah, well, I could certainly do that.
That's for a new project, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the next one. And and then you learn that you just learn who your support circle really is, and which is important, I think. Mm. And that's, you want real people around you anyway. And you know, when you're going through something traumatic like that, it's harsh reality, but it's a good thing.
It's also triggering to other people who can't handle the fact that there isn't stability.
That's
so
right.
People who have been traumatized with their own family or relationship issues
can
be really triggered by someone that they relied upon being in a solid relationship.
Well, it's also too, when I started to change myself physically, a lot of people
hate that.
Well, they hate that, and they were happier when I was like they were.
Yeah.
Happy and miserable. That's what it was. And
misery loves company.
It does. And you know, you have to make that decision to not have that in your life. And I've done that. But on an interpersonal way, I've actually learned that weaknesses are strengths and strengths are weaknesses.
Mm. How do you mean?
I'm a fiercely loyal person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's generally viewed as a strength. But for me, it was also a weakness. To the point that things went on for 23 years, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So for me, it doesn't change who I am, but being able to acknowledge that is power, and you can use that power for your good, basically. So learning those things and learning that the weaknesses might be a weakness, but you can actually turn it around to be a positive is another thing. And trying to do that so that you can put yourself on the trajectory that you need to be put on and have an impact for yourself, not for anybody else. I've done what I've done for me. And I think that's the other part that was important too. For the first time in my life, I was doing something just for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a selfish comment to make. I think at some point in your life, you have to focus on yourself, because how are you supposed to be happy? You know, no one else can make you happy. You have to find your own happiness, and you have to make sure that happens, and you put that plan in place to make sure that occurs. And if it's not, then you change and you do something different. So
that doesn't mean that you're any different as a human being, though. I mean, you're still Ted Lombardo. It's just that you've given yourself a bit of self-care. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
You put the oxygen bag on your mouth first in the case of an emergency, and then on the children.
That's right. Well, exactly. And even then, you know. No, but it's that sort of thing where I don't think, because our world is so busy and so crazy, and we don't give ourselves enough opportunity to do that.
Yep.
And I know, you know, my situation, I was able to do that, but it was also necessity. So I think when things become necessary, the path opens up for it, and you have to just acknowledge that.
Mm.
One of the other things I've learned is to, I've got a very strong instinct for things. And I never really trusted it before. And the moments that I would trust it would never turn you wrong.
Mm.
But I always trust my instinct now.
Mm.
I'd rather go on the situation that my instinct might be wrong, as opposed to that it's right and I don't act on it that way.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's an important thing too. And to trust it, and trust yourself, and to not worry about the small crap.
Mm.
You know?
Part of your travels when you were doing all of this self-healing, let's call it. I mean, you're a beach bunny.
Mm.
So where were all of these fantastic places that you were laying by pools and lying on the beach and
Tel Aviv,
and
sure.
thinking, you know, God, my life's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Tel Aviv, Malta, Sitges, Spain, Mykonos.
What was that like? Because Sitges is a big gay...
It is, yeah. It's great. Can't wait to go back.
Mm.
You know, I loved it. It was amazing. Obviously, you know, LA around the pool, Palm Springs around the pool, Miami, stunning, Puerto Vallarta.
Did you stay in a clothing optional resort at Palm Springs? I didn't know I was staying in one until, you know.
Yeah, it's clothing optional. Yeah, I kept my clothes on. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I went down to Gay Mart, it's called. Gay Mart.
Gay Mart.
I went down to Gay Mart and bought myself five jocks. because I thought I can't do the nude thing. So yeah. I'm running around with these jock straps on at, you know, 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning. Make it what you will, but I just wasn't ready for the, you know.
No, I don't need to. No. Barrel. No. You know? It's just something's better left to the imagination, I think. You know?
Well, I think, yeah, I like a surprise, don't you?
You know, definitely.
I think the sun and just doing nothing is very healing.
And Cuba, the beaches were stunning, the water amazing. You know, so it's just.
Is there much of a beach culture in Cuba?
No, there's not. There's a few gay beaches in outside of Havana.
Yeah.
And just pristine, clean. Beautiful.
Mm. Amazing. Are people out there water sporting and
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, you think Cuba is just, they don't do anything that we would do outside of that realm because there's no money and they've been so closed. Mm. And but that's changed dramatically. Mm. It's still going to change more.
So there's kite surfing and...
Yeah, there's that sort of stuff, definitely.
Oh, perfect.
They're very lucky with their relationship with Europe and Canada.
In Canada.
Yeah, very lucky there. So.
Yeah. And things were improving with the United States, but now T-Rump has changed all that. Yeah.
So as a gay man in 2018, 2019, mm-hmm. these gay resorts that you went to, they're just as fabulous as ever, right?
They are. They're fun, you know? And I mean, you know, you can take part in what you want to and don't take part in what you don't want. You know, it's very...
How rowdy do they get?
Well, I wasn't staying in all the rowdy ones, you know.
There's rowdier.
There's rowdier, definitely. And the time that I was in Palm Springs, we were there, it was sort of the downtime and it was really bloody hot and we didn't realize that and take that into consideration, but it didn't matter.
In the middle of the desert, yeah.
And they had the fires there, so there was a lot of things that were closed, unfortunately. So I probably didn't get the best experience in Palm Springs. We'll have to go back and do that. But it's an incredible place and I really enjoyed the time that I spent there. And
I think that's important with all those places like Mykonos, for example. Yeah. You can party as hard as you like.
Yeah.
Or you can lay by the pool and enjoy as much as you want.
That's right. So
I've never been to a gay resort.
Haven't you? You should try. It's a nice experience, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. I mean, I like staying at you know, the other places too, like like one of the places in Miami, one of the hotels there was just stunning. It was absolutely stunning, this Art Deco hotel.
Miami's great for that.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you just walk up the street and you're in South Beach and it's just a beautiful place and you're right on the water and I really enjoyed that. I actually wish I had spent more time in Miami. Mm. I only spent about 4 days there, but and I'd been there before, but when you basically go on a different trajectory, you go back to a place, you experience it almost like it's new, you know. But yeah, so it's quite interesting.
This is the Escape Hour on Joy 94.9. We've had Tad Lombardo on today and we've heard all about your fabulous new life and there's more to come, so we'll have you back on the show again.
I think Tad is going to be back on the show.
Really?
Yes.
You're coming back.
The bitch is back.
How exciting. Yeah. That's great news. That's absolutely great news.
Yeah, so the next few weeks we'll organise that and make sure
talk
that happens.
About that, yeah.
Good on. Yeah, that's fantastic news. Yeah. Mark, what a glorious day it is. I've started drinking wine already by the sounds of it, doesn't it? I wish you well with your fine white wine purchase today.
Thank you very much.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Yes, happy Easter.
Keep safe. Good to see you guys. Enjoy this beautiful weather and welcome back to Joy, Tad.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You're enjoying 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.